Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
How many of you know that there's lots of movies out there? I was watching something with my kids the other day, Avengers, I forget what it's called, and at the end, there's like the end of the world, and half the world burns, and I'm like, man, that's in the Bible. I mean, not the Avengers. I'm not saying the Avengers in the Bible. How many of you guys, when you're growing up, how many of you ever had to, you know, maybe some of you grew up in church, and you were introduced to the end times in a manipulative way? No, I won't say it that way. How many of you guys, you know, the pastor stood up and he preached in the book of Revelation. Now tonight, you might not want to bring your kids. There'll be something special for them in the fellowship hall is what we called it back then, right? The fellowship hall, because they might be scared. But I went to the movies anyway. Anyone watch A Thief in the Night? Or A Distant Thunder, The Mark of the Beast, where they show the little girl walking up behind the stairs with mom, and there's all of a sudden the guillotine goes off and the balloon starts flying. Every time I saw a balloon, I freaked out as a kid. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's okay. It scared the living daylights out of me. A few years ago, I turned 40, and we're living in Anchorage, and my wife gathers the kids. We're having breakfast in our house, and the kids were talking, and mom says, one of my daughters says, Dad's having a birthday this year. He's getting old. And my wife goes, yeah, he's going to be over the hill this week. And one of my daughters goes, Daddy's going to hell this week? And I went back and said, no, I watched A Thief in the Night. The hell got scared right out of me. And I made it, you know, I watched those movies, and I would go home, and I would pray every night, oh, God, forgive me, because if you come back tonight, I want to make sure I'm right with Jesus, you know, and that fear kind of kept me right, you know. And I thought about that this week, as my 9-year-old says, I don't go to sleep without asking Jesus to forgive me, because if God comes back, I want to be right with God. Now, how many want to know our security in Christ is a little bit better than that? And, but we're starting a series today on the end times. It's called The 11th Hour. And are we living in the end times? And so I have read all of Tim LaHaye's books for Good Theology, the Left Behind series. I've cross-referenced it with CNN and Fox News. We're going to have a good time this week, okay? No, we're going to look at the Bible, okay? But here's what we're going to do is today, how many know the Bible's made up of 66 books? It's written by 40 authors, and 20% of the Bible is devoted to prophecy. When I say prophecy, apocalyptic language, it's got end times. There's just a whole lot of symbolism and pictures and metaphors and all that. There's five times the number of prophecies regarding the second coming of Jesus than the first coming. The first coming is what? The Advent. It's when Jesus came. And I think there's some people that probably didn't fully understand everything about the first coming. And maybe a little skeptical. You know, where Jesus was going to be born. He was going to be born of a virgin. Wait a second here. That doesn't make any sense that our king would be born. You can't have virgin births. But how many want to know that the first advent was a fulfillment of prophetic words, 100% accurate. And so guess what? There's going to be 100% accuracy, I believe, biblically, when it comes to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the end times. We're talking about now. And you might be a little skeptical and say, that just doesn't make sense. It's a little bit awkward and weird. And you know something? I didn't make up the rules. I didn't make up the Bible, but God can come back the way God says he's going to come back. And so here's what we're going to look at the next couple weeks. Today, we're going to look at the second coming of Christ. What does it look like when God comes back? How many of you want to know God's going to come rescue us from planet Earth? How many of you guys are excited about that? Or our kids from planet Earth. Maybe we'll die beforehand, but God's coming back. So we're going to talk about that this week. We lay the kind of foundation for what we'd call in Christian circles eschatology, the study of end times or the study of final things. Next week, we're going to look at when Jesus returns. What does heaven look like? You know, if he made Earth in a literal 6 days and rested on the seventh, he's been working on heaven for 2,000 years. What a place that's going to be, right? Anyone looking forward to heaven? You know, I think the newsboy said it real well. There's a big, big house with lots and lots of rooms and a big, big yard where we can play football. Okay, and that's not theology, so that was a song. But how we're going to talk next week about heaven, how we'll be judged, what will eternity be like, what's that? What does it look like? What does eternity look like? What's the millennial reign of Christ? What are all those big words that we just don't quite understand? And then last, finally, we'll survey the book of Revelation. And for the next 18 weeks, we're going to do a verse by verse. No, just kidding. Your pastor has ADD. There will never be an 18-week series. Well, I won't say never, okay? The Lord could speak to me. We're going to look at the book of Revelation, some of the most important verses related to this topic. And here's my personal belief. My personal belief is that there's some things in the book of Revelation we'll never fully understand. And I personally believe the book of Revelation will be very understandable after God comes back, the rapture of the church happens, and people are that are left here on earth, they're going to be reading that book going, okay, that's happening next. Because I don't think it's meant for us to understand fully everything that's there. And so that's my personal thought. But let's dive in. I want to look at Paul wrote a pivotal piece in or verses in 1 Thessalonians to the Thessalonican church. The Thessalonians believed Jesus was coming back soon. You know, Jesus died and he was resurrected and he ascended into heaven. And so all of a sudden, they believed that Jesus was going to come back soon. In fact, we greet people how? How you doing, bro? What's up, sweetheart? Hey, what's up? How's it going? Hello. That's how we greet people. But in the biblical times, they greet people Maranatha. Maranatha, which means Jesus is coming. He's coming quickly, Maranatha. In other words, be ready. They live with this thought. And then all of a sudden, the first generation Christians in Thessalonica started dying. And now they started asking Paul, like, what's going to happen? These people died. And if God comes back, what's going to happen? They're dead. And so Paul is encouraging the Thessalonica church. And today I want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And kind of unpack these verses for us. And again, it's in the context, explains what's going to happen. These people died, but that doesn't mean that they're going to miss out on heaven. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul writes, "Brothers, we don't not want you to be ignorant or unlearned or not understand about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." What's he saying? There's people in this world who have no hope, but we're of the tribe who has what? Hope. In fact, as we read on, theologians would call this the blessed hope, that there is hope after we die. There's hope for those who are alive, that when God comes back, there's the blessed, there's a hope. The essence of Christianity is this very next verse. We believe that Jesus died, that he rose again, and so we believe God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. In other words, hey, you're concerned about those who've already died, concerned about those who have gone before and they've passed on. God's going to bring them back too. Verse 15 says, "According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who've fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds." So it's going to be a cloudy day, okay? No. Doesn't, yeah, never mind. "To meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever." Verse 18. "Therefore, encourage each other with these words." And so this is an encouraging message. I'm not going to scare the living daylights out of you and talk about all the fear-based stuff. Hey, guess what? There's hope. And so today I want to talk about the three hopes we as Christians have based upon this blessed hope, based upon the fact that Jesus is coming back. So number one, three reasons we have hope. Number one, the return. Christ is coming back again. How many of you guys are excited about that? God's coming back. Jesus himself said this, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. In John 14, verse 13, he says, I'm going to prepare. Why is Jesus, why did he leave and ascend to heaven? He's preparing a place for us right now. How many of you guys are excited about that heavenly home? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, the old hymn we sang. In our culture today, we greet each other with hello and what's up. But again, they were like, no, he's coming again, Maranatha. Are you ready? Maranatha. He's coming quickly. Are you ready? Maranatha. And so today I want to ask you, Maranatha, are you ready? He's coming. He's going to return. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul wrote this to Timothy. He says, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Next week we'll talk about the judgments, the different judgments. And one of them is for believers, where it's the Bema Seat, where God hands out different crowns for our good works and the things we have done. And it says this, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Let me ask you a question today. If the Lord comes back today, will you get that crown? Have you been longing for his appearing? Or have you just kind of been, you know, maybe you're like, well, Pastor, I'd like to, but I'm engaged. And I'd like God to hold off until after the honeymoon to come back. Or maybe you have grandkids, or your grandkids are in the oven. You're like, Lord, come back, but not till after I hold my first grandbaby. I don't know what yours are. All I know is sometimes we plan our lives so well, and I'm not against planning. But friends, I wonder if God came back if he'd mess up some of our earthly plans. I hope there's this anticipation and longing for his appearing, because there's actually a crown given out for those who live their life longing for heaven. Longing for a home beyond. Maranatha, the Lord is coming back. Paul goes on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 14, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus, this is his return, they'll bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. We know to be absent for the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So falling asleep does not mean when you're bored in church. It means when you're dead. Now it's kind of funny. I grew up, I grew up on a dairy farm. My dad would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, milk cows. This time of year, it's kind of chilly in the barn, like you can heat a barn. And he'd come in from doing the chores outside, and I would, we get up later on. My dad would walk into a nice warm church on a Sunday morning, and he'd sit down, third or fourth row, and he would fall asleep. We always like, nah, come on, Dad, wake up. And my dad would always say, Pastor, I'm so sorry I fell asleep. My pastor would say, I'd rather have you sleep in church, brother, than at home. So he's not talking about those who sleep in church here. He's just talking about those that have died. Jesus says they fall asleep. Christians who die are not dead forever because we live with God. In fact, in Acts, the author talks about David, who after he'd fulfilled the purpose of God for his generation, he fell asleep. And not just a small nap. He napped until the second coming. So now in Thessalonians, it goes on. It says, verse 16, for God himself will come down from heaven. He's returning with a loud command, with a voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God. Now, I've been to lots of band concerts. I have daughters who all play multiple instruments. But I can't wait, if I'm alive, to hear that trumpet call from heaven. I bet he's on tune. I bet he doesn't have to stop and take a breath. I bet it's just this whoop, heavenly sound. It might sound better than my 8-year-old is learning how to play the baritone. I don't know. I just have a feeling. Okay? And it says, and the dead in Christ will rise. Could you imagine being at a graveside that day? You're at a graveside. Watching someone maybe get lowered or you're celebrating that part of their life, and all of a sudden it's the day the trumpet sounds and you hear this big sound, and it sounds louder than the earthquake in Anchorage when I was on the fourth floor of that hotel as it was going back and forth. This is rumbling. It's going to be the trumpet sound of God, and the dead in Christ are all of a sudden going to just like leave their homes they've been resting in for a while, and they're going to shoot up to heaven. How many guys are, that would be a fun day to watch. All I know is God spoke the world into existence. God spoke and created the world as he spoke. And sometimes God whispers, but this guy at time, God is command the trumpet sound, and Michael the archangel is going to cry out. The Lord's going to shout. Why? Because it's the greatest victory in all of the planet. It's the consummation of everything. The dead in Christ will rise. This is not a resurrection of the dead. This is literally, this is when, now this can be a little confusing. See, there's two resurrections. And if you're taking notes, it's on your worship guide. But number one, there's the resurrection for Christians who were raised from the dead. And they'll be judged for their good works. We'll talk more about that next week. And then there's a second resurrection. It's for those who are not Christians, and they'll be judged very differently than Christians. Because there's going to come a day when they open up the Lamb's Book of Life, and those whose names are written in it will be in heaven, and those who are not written in it, there's a second death for them. In fact, in Revelation, it says it this way: blessed and holy are those who have part of the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. Now that word second death, now that, you see, here's the deal. You can be born once and die twice. There's a second death. You can be born once or die twice, or as Christ follows, we can be born twice and die once. In John chapter 3, there's a man named Nicodemus is talking to Jesus, and he's talking about life and eternal. And Nicodemus is told by Jesus, well, you won't inherit eternal life unless you've been born again. And Nicodemus, a philosophical man, goes, born again? I'm an adult. I cannot enter my mom again. That would be very hard, very awkward, very evasive. I can't be born again. And Jesus says, no, unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, there's no eternity for you. See, as Christ followers, see, here's the deal. We have this saying in America, or YOLO, you only live once. Hey, as Christ followers, you only die once. You only die once. You live twice. You're born twice, born of natural birth with your mother and father, but then you're born spiritually by Jesus. That's why you're called born again. And so there's a first resurrection, and then there's the second death. Anyone want to experience a second death? Hope not. It leads to one place. It's called the lake of fire. See, the return of Christ is hope. God is coming back, and those who are dead will resurrect, and those who are alive will be caught up together. In fact, that's the second hope we have. Number one, the first hope is the return. The second hope is the rapture. The rapture is when the living Christians are taken away. So there's the resurrection, the return where God will resurrect the dead in Christ, and those who are alive will be caught up together. In fact, it says in verse 17, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That word caught up is the Greek word harpazo, which means to seize or to catch or to rescue. It literally means to be snatched away, to be grabbed. Or to use a current movie series from a while ago, taken. But you're taken home with Jesus. How many of you guys want to be snatched away by God? How many of you guys would know that would shut the government shut down? God would shut the government down. And I won't go there. There's three main beliefs, different beliefs on when the rapture will happen. We call this snatching away the rapture of the church. God will snatch and take the church away. The church, meaning us, Christ followers who are still alive. There's three different beliefs. I'll add a fourth one. But number one, the first is the pre-tribulation rapture. If you study biblical prophecy, that there's a seven-year tribulation where there's all, and I think that's where the book of Revelation comes in. It talks about all the things that are going to happen. And pre-tribulation rapture is the church will be raptured prior to the tribulation. Then there's the mid-tribulation people who say, you know, you'll live through half of the tribulation, but God's going to come and rapture and capture and seize the church halfway through the tribulation. And then there's the die-hard people who want to walk through a lot of hard times. So they believe in the post-trib. Post-trib is the rapture happens after the end of the tribulation. Now, personally, I embrace pre-tribulation. I do believe theologically you can find a belief system that would embrace each of these three options. So I choose to be what I call pan-tribulation. It's going to pan out the way God wants it to. He's going to come back when he wants, because the Bible says we don't know the time or the day or the season. I personally embrace the pre-tribulation rapture. But again, it's going to happen the way God wants it. Now, what's that look like? In Matthew chapter 24, the author Matthew, the evangelist says, that is how it will be at the coming of the Lord. This is the second coming. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. So you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. One will be at his computer and the other will be left. One will be driving and the person in front of them will no longer be there. How many want to know the rapture is going to really mess up our world? When half the cars are unmanned, half the boats are unmanned, half the surgeons are now gone as someone's opened up on the operating table. If you have surgery this week, don't think about that. Sorry. That's like, oh, that gives people a lot of hope right there, blessed hope. Well, actually, no, if the rapture happens, it doesn't matter. You're going up. Who cares, right? If you're not right with Jesus, you might want to get right today. My uncle, my wife's brother-in-law, or my father-in-law, Joe, had a brother-in-law named Balta. Baltasar was his name. And they were in eastern Washington, and his Hispanics did lots of crop working, and they'd pick a lot of apples in that area, in that part of the world. And as they're picking apples one day, Balta always would say, Joe, you need to come to church with me. You married my sister-in-law, and you need to come to church with me. You need to get right with God. And he'd be picking apples. And one day, Joe tells a story. Balta was up on a ladder picking apples, and Balta looks down and says, Joe, you know, if God comes back today, my basket of apples is going to fall right down on top of you, because two people will be in the fields and one is no longer there. It's the rapture. Are you ready? Maranatha, he's coming. Are you ready? Be ready. In fact, there's three or four stories right in the middle of chapter 24 and 25 of the book of Matthew. Read them this week if you want. And it talks about the whole different parables. One is there's 10 virgins and five were wise and five were foolish, because the five had the oil in their lamps and they were ready for the return of the groom. And five weren't ready when the groom came. They had no oil in their lamps. They couldn't get married. And the whole idea was, when the groom comes back for the church, the bride, are we ready? And a foolish bride is not ready. So my question for you today, are you ready? If the Lord comes back today, are you ready? In fact, in Revelation, it says, behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and shamefully exposed. So be ready. The Lord comes back. You want to make sure, you know, never mind. Number three, the third reason we have hope as Christ followers is there's a reunion. The Christians will be with God forever. How many of you guys want that day to come? Now, see, I've known people, I don't know if I like to worship. Well, you better learn how to worship on earth, because it's practice for heaven. Because you're going to worship 24/7, 365, and it won't be a certain music style you like. It'll be the one God picks. And you'll sit there, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy. In fact, the Bible talks about the thousands upon thousands. The you can't even recognize all of them. Every tribe and every tongue will be worshiping the Lord. The reunion. I love it. It says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. and so will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. With the Lord forever. I want you to think about that this week. What's it look like to be with the Lord forever? No more pain. No more sin. No more heartache. No more brokenness. No more disease. I think of the small village church in Nongo, Uganda, where I was a year and a half ago. No more witch doctor tormenting you. No more starvation. No more sickness. No more poverty. No more cancer. No more divorce. No more loneliness. It says he'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more sad. How many of you guys are excited about that day? That place they paved the streets with gold. I don't know what type of economy they have up there. A little different than our world down here. Maranatha, he's coming back. Are you ready? We're going to be with him forever. If people in our world knew how great heaven would be, we probably wouldn't love the world we live in so much. I want to ask you, I want to read in 1 Corinthians, but you know, it's great to know a lot of theology or a lot about the end times and, you know, his return and the rapture and the reunion where we're going to be with the saints and around the throne and all those things. But friends, that's great to have a bunch of knowledge about what it looks like, but how does it change this right here? Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we'll all be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. But then the saying that is written will come true. Death was swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? In other words, we might think death is what is the end of all, because all will die. But what he's saying is, no, there's going to come a day in the twinkling of an eye. The trumpet will sound, and those that are perishable will be clothed with imperishable. Those that are mortal will be clothed with immortality. How many of you guys are looking for that day? This isn't a New Year's resolution or workout plan or weight loss plan. This is the God will change us in the twinkling of an eye plan. And then here's the application. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Friends, there was a day the early church understood the blessed hope, and it caused them to share the gospel around the world. In fact, why is God slow in coming? He's not slow as some understand slowness. He goes on to say this, he's slow because he doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. In other words, why? What should this thought about the end times do? It should help us recalibrate our spirit to say, it means I should stand firm, let nothing move me, and I should devote myself to the work of God, because there's people who still need Jesus, and he's coming back. And at some point, we can't work anymore. There's an eternal retirement, but until retirement, it's time to re-enlist. God, what can I do? How can I serve you? How could I be involved? My question for you is this. Are you acting as if the Lord's coming back? At the end of this month, I fly down on a Friday and fly back on a Saturday. I preach a camp to about 500 kids, and I haven't preached to students in a long time, and they asked me to preach on hell. I'm like, hell, okay, I'll preach on hell. I'm going to scare the hell out of a bunch of kids. Ah. I talk about hell, and 10 things I know about hell. It's open 24 hours. Hell has no friends, because there's no friends in hell, because there's absence of God means there's no love. And when you're in a place with no love, there's no friends. Hell is hungry. It's open for business. It has lots of room. Hell's happening right now. Hell leads to one place, the lake of fire. But at the end of it all, I said there's three things. There's three types of people in here today. One is those who don't even believe there's a hell. Number two, those who live like there is no hell. You live like there's no, and thirdly, those who live like there is a hell. But I want to ask you today, who in here is living like there's heaven? Who's living like there's a heaven and there's people who will miss out on it if we don't do our part now? How are you doing? Where you at? I hope you didn't come just to hear about the 11th hour. I hope you came to say, I want the word of God to transform me on the inside. I want to pray with you right now, or us are going to come and prepare to receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. But would you bow your heads and close your eyes across this room? I want you to think right now with your eyes closed, your heads bowed and your hearts bowed before the Lord. Are you living with the Maranatha spirit? God is coming back and I am ready and I can't wait for him to come back. Are you doing all you can to make sure your coworkers and your family members and those around you, if God comes back today, will they be ready for heaven too, because you're ready and you've helped them become ready? I want to pray over you today. Lord, I pray right now that you'd help us to live like there is a heaven and live like there's a return. And live like there's a rapture. And live like there's a reunion. And God, we want to make sure we can take as many people with us to heaven in that time. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.